I'm live right here from Washington, D.C. And, you know, our last guests, Fred and Peggy Davis, they just gave Congressman Jeff Duncan a small earful of their problems living on the border. And since you're on Homeland Security, Congressman Jeff Duncan, what do you say?
Yeah, you know, their points are well taken and need to be relayed on to Homeland Security to General Kelly, Secretary Kelly. I know him as General Kelly. He was at Southcom. I dealt with him when I was chair of the Western Hemisphere. But Secretary Kelly needs to know firsthand. They were telling me there are signs on the border that say, don't drive here. This is a drug trafficking corridor.
Yes. There are billboards.
And they're written in Spanish and Chinese. I said, well, why don't you write them in Arabic and Farsi, too, because there's a threat of Islamic terrorists coming across our border.
Yes.
Maybe they need to know not to go there.
Well, I mean, the thing is, and there are panic buttons, if you need water, if you're in bad situation and you're coming into our country, these are not for our citizens, they're for their foreigners to be in there coming in. I mean, what's going on, Jeff?
Well, we have an unsecured border. We've talked about it so many times, Ann, that, you know, the soft underbelly of the nation is our southern border. And this isn't about illegal immigrants that are coming here to take jobs in horticulture or hospitality or whatever. We have a unsecured border. What does that mean? That means any criminal element or any element willing to do nefarious things can come across our border.
Right.
We have to secure our country. We're a sovereign nation. Other countries, that means outside influences can't tell you what to do or not do. Sovereignty means you make your own choices and you determine your own fate. As a sovereign nation, we should secure our border. And we can work on common sense legal immigration issues, but we have illegal immigration issues that are first solved by securing our border.
Well, it's like they were saying, they are right on the border. They are right on the border, and they go 25 miles before the Border Patrol are there. They're not near the border. They're not a couple of miles or a mile. The Border Patrol are 25 miles.
Well,
back.
I mean, in some areas, that's kind of a yes and no.
Okay. Well, are you going to give me the football analogy now? Because I've heard that a lot about the scrimmage line and having them in the backfield, and that's where they got to be.
No, you know, that really fits my
my
modus operandi. But
yes, I know.
We're securing the border, but they can't put people where you can see the next person. You can't have that many men on the border. We need a border wall. We need more concrete, steel, and barbed wire. We need more electronic surveillance. We need more drones. We need more aerostats. There's a lot of different things that we can do to watch the border.
Are we going to get those things or not?
Well, the first thing, we want to get a border wall.
Yeah, but how long is it going to take to build the border wall?
As long as it takes.
But, I mean, I'm for the border wall, but I'm just saying, in the meantime, wouldn't electronic and drones and this type of thing?
And we're still doing a lot of that. That's what people don't know. I mean, I've been down in the Nogales sector and toured the border, and there are areas you can't put
this.
A fence.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's mountains. It's as high as the Rocky Mountains, and so, but you can run fence all the way to those. And then you create areas where you sort of force multiplier areas where you can put the men and women in our Border Patrol in these areas, these corridors, as you have heard them called, to effectively interdict the drug smugglers, the illegals, human trafficking, whatnot. The border wall will cordon or push those people into those areas where they can be more readily apprehended. Right now we have a wide open border. You know, you go down to the Rio Grande area, that valley, you know, people are coming across every day. There is no physical barrier other than the river. We don't have enough manpower. And even with drones, you know, sometimes it takes the manpower a little while to get there. So, you do have scrimmage line, backfield, you know, free safeties, that sort of thing. But there's multiple layers. What I've said all along is more aerostats looking at the border, flying more drones, and people kind of queasy about drones, but they're effective in flying altitude, watching with forward-looking infrared radar, watching the border in large swaths, so that when they see a group of illegals trying to cross or drug smugglers trying to bring drugs across, they have enough forewarning that they can bring the manpower to bear in an area where they can be apprehended. Now, Barack Obama's administration didn't do a whole lot of apprehension, and when they did, they released them. I think Donald Trump's administration has a whole different mindset of illegal immigration. I think Congress addressing today Kate's laws, sanctuary cities, is showing America that we have a different opinion than the Barack Obama administration with regard to sanctuary cities. What I say is If you're a sanctuary city, if you're not willing to enforce federal law, this particular federal law, then you shouldn't get any money from the federal government.
Yeah, well, the federal, they don't seem to feel that way.
And universities don't either. You know, California, University of California, Berkeley, and University of California system, who Janet Napolitano actually runs, by the way, former Secretary of Homeland Security, is a sanctuary university, based on her declaration. I love those glasses, by the way. She's
Thank
got
you.
On blue glasses, folks. If you're not looking at Facebook Live and see Ann's glasses, they're killer.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome. But so now we've got sanctuary universities. They shouldn't get any federal dollars. They shouldn't get tuition assistance for their students. They ought to be cut off completely. And the federal government has got to get the attention of these sanctuary cities, in my opinion, and sanctuary institutions. They shouldn't get our tax dollars if they're not willing to enforce the law of the federal government.
Well, you're in Congress. We have the Senate. Are we going to make those changes, or are we just going to be sitting here kind of like we are on health care right at this moment?
You know, we're making some changes today in on the House side. You know, I would ask you to ask those questions of Lindsey and Tim, Lindsey Graham folks and Tim Scott, our state senator, U.S. senators from South Carolina. Ask them those questions. We're going to vote these things out today. But too often on the Senate side, they want to muddy the water with comprehensive immigration reform. This isn't about immigration reform. We can have that conversation at some point in time.
Sure.
Let's talk about sanctuary cities, federal dollars. Let's talk about enforcing the laws that are on the books, Kate's Law, illegal, that was deported, what, seven times, came back, ended up killing a beautiful
sure.
young lady. Should have never been able to come back in the country. Should have been incarcerated, actually.
So as far as what is happening in Congress, I saw where you have, aren't you part of a bill to...
just a letter. It's not
letter.
Really a
oh,
bill.
Oh, a letter.
But, yeah.
Okay.
For on the August recess.
Oh, well, on the August recess, that's one. How's that coming along? Are we going to have an... Are you guys... Are we? I know I'm not going to have an August recess. Are you going to have an August recess?
You taking a vacation this year?
No, I said I'm not going to have an August recess. I'm not
I mean,
going to
vacation
have...
in general, I think.
No.
Look, there's a lot of work left to do. If you really start stacking it up because of Democrat obstructionism in the Senate, holding up the nomination confirmations.
We're back. I guess we have gremlins in the system this morning. We're here with Congressman Jeff Duncan. So you were saying that we get obstructionism from the Democrats. I mean, that's normal.
Yeah, I mean, that's caused a lot of things to back up. And what I was saying, we still have Obamacare repeal and replace. We still have a budget to get done. Once the budget's done, we have comprehensive tax reform, which everyone that I represent seems to want. We have a debt ceiling increase because we've hit the nation's debt ceiling. We've got to deal with that. We've got appropriations bills to fund government before the end of September. There's just a lot of things, Ann, that are stacked up. And if we don't get through some of those must-pass pieces, the debt ceiling, the appropriation bills, then we ought to stay through August and keep working. It's a historical period where members of Congress can go recharge their batteries, but also spend a lot of time in the district. I was talking to the Greenwood Index Journal yesterday, and we were talking about recess. Okay, we work 3 weeks in Washington, and we'll take a week back in the district.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Greta Van Susteren used to call it, well, Congress out of town on recess. Well, I was working. You know, if you look at my schedule, we're back in the district. We're doing the things that the folks in the district want us to do, trying to learn, you know, how the policies in Washington affect folks back home, what we can do differently. But when they calculate the number of days Congress works, they only look at the days we're voting. Well, you know, this job's much more than going to cast a vote. You know, we're back in the district educating people and educating ourselves, doing that constituent service work.
Sure. So what do you think? Is August going to be a work time? Because there absolutely is no time you're going to get everything done before you leave.
I don't think my leadership has any stomach to cancel August recess, but we're going to keep pushing them.
The problem? Leadership is the problem here, isn't it? Isn't leadership a large part of a problem with making people do what should be done? It should be done to be there.
The definition of leadership is lead, somebody that leads.
Yes.
They ought to be the ones saying, folks, if we don't get our work done before August, we're going to stay here.
Well, you know, that's what they do in business, right?
Absolutely.
If you don't get the job done, you'll be here till we get it done.
Exactly.
Well, that's right.
You know, I remember when I used to work for my father-in-law in Greenwood. And we worked until the job was done. And you didn't leave the job site until you cleaned the shovels and the wheelbarrows and all that of all the concrete, because if you didn't, the next day, it's all solidified, and that shovel's worthless at that point. So I went to work for a manufacturing company and the next summer. And at quitting time, those guys left.
Yep.
Wait, we had to clean up the paint that we were using to paint the roof, to, you know, do things like that. We had to put our stuff up, and they didn't. I'd turn around, they'd be gone. I'd stay extra to make sure that everything was prepared for the next day. That's what you do. You stay until the job's done. But
exactly.
This mentality of quitting at quitting time on a job, or, you know, leaving based on a schedule, is just wrong.
It is wrong.
Well, you were an entrepreneur, and I was. And
yes.
We realized if we didn't do it,
It didn't get done. That's right. And you only had yourself to blame when you had problems the next day. One more question for you, Representative the gut shot. Representative
Scalia.
I want to make sure I said the name correct. You were there. You saw the person. How are you recovering, shall we say, from the fact that that man had your name in his pocket?
Well, it's unnerving. The fact that I had interaction with him in the parking lot, and he had my name on a list in his pocket, call it an assassination list, call it whatever, FBI's trying to poo-poo that a little bit. We've reached out to the FBI and said, look, the six people whose names were on his list, we want a briefing from you, what you know. How did you research us? Why our names were on the list? Different than the total baseball team, because he wasn't really targeting our baseball team because we were that good. We got our butts kicked, so it wasn't because of our baseball
skills. That was embarrassing, by the way. I think you guys should have done better for Scully.
Well, we just don't have any pitching. It's what it comes down to. But
not to get off track.
Yeah, I played a great game. But anyway.
Okay.
Woo.
So we want to find out, the six of us want to find out, you know, what they know, have a briefing and be able to ask questions. And I think the team in general wants the FBI to brief us on their investigation. Probably the whole house at some point will do that, but the six of us want to have an opportunity to have one-on-one, ask questions. There are a lot of folks that have survivor's guilt. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're all praying for Steve Scalise. I've got on my phone, you'll see the fleur-de-lis, or however you say it, the symbol for LSU in Louisiana. I've got one on my lapel. I actually took a tiger paw off my lapel yesterday to put that on.
Oh, my God.
That, you know, that's
saying
a lot.
Something.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, just continue to lift Steve up, and he's recovering. He's in a regular room out of ICU now, so he's coming along better.
Yes.
Matt Micah was shot in the side, bullet came out his front, had a lot of cracked ribs and had a clipped lung. It missed his heart and missed a lot of the vitals. Thank God, he's doing better. You've got others that were wounded in various
capacities. But how are you doing? That's my question. How are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing okay.
I mean, this is a personal question. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's not a, probably not an hour goes by that I don't think about it.
Yeah, I would think that would be something that would take a little bit and could affect, you know, what you think going forward in this job.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's reassessing, you know, what we do and don't do for security back in the district up here, and a lot of conversations being had. After Gabby Giffords was shot, my third day in office, and, you know, you were probably still in Washington at that point. She'd come up for the inauguration and swearing in and whatnot for Congress in 2011. We did a lot of things differently than maybe Gresham had done, you know, 'cause we reassessed at that point in time. But, you know, I don't want it to interfere with our interaction with my constituents. That's my number one goal is, you know, if we pick up our level of security at events, I just don't want it to interfere. I don't think that's what our founders wanted either. So, but we're in a different day here in the 21st century, and so we are evaluating what we do and how we do it.
And you were there with Ambassador Haley yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Had an opportunity to introduce her and got a plug in for the national champion Clemson Tigers there. Got a big laugh out of the room, and I told him I was shameless. But she did a fabulous job. I mean, the Democrats were pretty hard on her. And she just continued to not give it back to him in a rough way, but she held her ground, and she articulated hers and the administration's position with regard to the UN. And I asked her a question about foreign aid and people that vote with us or don't vote with us at the UN and how much foreign aid they get, so we're going to work on that together. I thought she knocked it out of the park, just like she has done since she's been nominated.
Absolutely. Well, I know you've got to go. I always appreciate, though, having these few minutes where we can sit down and talk. And if you do come home for August recess, maybe you can come see me in my new studio.
You count on it. I'll make it happen. I know we've had some scheduling difficulties in the past, but we're not going to have that anymore. And I would love to come and sit down in the studio because I love Ann, and I love coming in the studio. And WCRS and Greenwood, I mean, yeah, you guys are it, so...
Well, thanks for coming out here today. I know we took you away from your schedule at work, but we really appreciate you stopping by.
Well, we're going to go speak on Kate's Law on the floor today
and
on the rule on that. So we're working on sanctuary cities, working on enforcing the law. You know, 2 years ago today, or this weekend, rather, was when Kate was killed in San Francisco by an illegal alien.
Oh, my God, that's right.
We're going to be on that today, 2 years ago. So it's monumental, or at least momentous, that we're doing it this weekend. And remember, folks, y'all have a great July 4th weekend. It's not just a holiday. It's where we recognize the birth of our nation, the independence, where we told the King of England, no more. You know, you're not going to overtax us. You're not going to oppress us. We're going to declare our independence, and we have what we have today, the greatest country on earth, because of what happened July 4th in 1776.
God bless us all,
God
each
bless
and
America
everyone.
Too. Amen.
Yep. Absolutely. Hey, let's take a quick break. I'm going to get teed up for my next guest. Thanks so much, Congressman Jeff Duncan.
Thank you, Anne.